Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg SPCA in this morning. We've got lots to talk about and some really fun people to talk about it with. Von Young is back. Kathleen Daly-Becker is here. And Andrea Chum here this morning from the Fredericksburg SPCA. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
It is so good to have you. Von, I know you, so I'm just I'm pushing you aside momentarily in talking to my new friends here.
I appreciate that. Don't worry. That's why I brought them.
So you just sit there for a minute, and we will meet. We'll start off with Kathleen. A little bit about yourself. How'd you get involved with the Fredericksburg SPCA? I mean, where did your love for animals come from?
Oh, that's a hard question. I fostered my first bottle babies when I was 15 years old. So I've been doing this for about 10 years now. I started at the SPCA a couple years ago as their volunteer coordinator. And then I left and I came back when I was actually fostering a dog with us. The job became available and I jumped in there very excited to get back. So I love working at the Fred SPCA. I love working with animals. I mean, this is what I've always wanted to do. So.
That is great. That's so fun to hear. What do you like best about what you do every day? Just being around the animals and in what you do.
I think one of my favorite things is kind of with our long stay cases are animals that are in the shelter for a longer time, and like it's a difficult environment. As good as we can make the environment in the shelter, it is not an adoptive home. And I think what's so wonderful about foster is for these longer stay animals who need more enrichment, they need more, we can send them to foster. And when we come back, we see that behavioral shift in them. And then seeing those animals go and find adoptive homes because of the work that foster families do is so rewarding.
Didn't mention Kathleen is the foster coordinator.
Yep.
And that must be, there must be, I mean, I'm sure there are times that you're sad, like you say, when you have the long term.
Yeah, it can be really difficult.
But when you do make those, you make those connections and you get some of the long, we get any of, you know, when you get animals and people together.
Yeah, I have to say, you're in a good job when you happy cry. Like, I've never had a job before where, like, you feel so passionate about these animals, and then when they finally find a home, and you just have to go to your office and be like, that made everything worth it.
Talk to people about fostering and just the importance of that.
Yeah, so at any given time, we have anywhere from, like, 25 to 50% of our animals in foster, but during kitten season, that, which we're going to be talking about today, that increases a lot. People can register to foster on our website. There's a form to sign up. You really don't need to have any sort of supplies or training. We provide everything you're going to need. So you just sign up, you come in, you make appointments. A lot of our fosters, we have fosters who foster from anywhere from like 2 days to, our longest foster was actually a phospis case, so an animal who had a terminal illness, and they were in foster for 16 to 18 months. You know, you don't have to commit a lot of time, but some people too. But all we're asking for is your time. We'll provide all the supplies. We'll provide the training.
And it has just such an impact on the animals and even yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I love fostering. I had my 38th and 39th fosters this week.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a zoo of a house. I had two puppies this week, Cosmo and Comet. But it's super rewarding. I think I always tell people, people say, like, I don't think I could foster. I'd get too attached to the animals. But I think it is kind of a mindset thing. You go into it, you know they're going to find an adoptive home. So I think you open your heart to them for a short time. They're going to find an adoptive home. And when you keep your heart open to fostering, that's so many more lives you can help. So, like, if I had adopted my first foster animal, I wouldn't have 39 of them.
And we call people, I have like a system. I have like a one foster, like, you know, that person's gonna foster once, fall in love, and never foster again. They're gonna adopt, and that is absolutely fine. In the industry, it's called foster failing, and we don't, you know, we're good with that. We've had people that have fostered 103, and then they've adopted. And
I was gonna say, both me and Andrea have both foster failed at this point.
My first foster was a fail, and I called Kathleen the first night I had him and told her he was not coming back home.
I'm not gonna lie, I placed her with that kitten knowing he was not coming back.
Rick says you sometimes know that.
Oh yeah, I did it yesterday. I had a really sweet puppy who was looking for a foster home, and it was one of someone we know, actually, Caitlin. And she was like, yeah, I've been looking to foster a puppy, and I sent her home with a puppy, and she goes, yeah, I mean, he might not come back. And I went, girl, I know. I know.
That is one of the benefits of fostering. So, you know, it's a volunteer thing. You pour so much love into it. You do get the first chance at adopting that animal just as a benefit of, you know, helping us save lives. So it is a good way to kind of test the waters. Is your family ready for a puppy? It's a great way to get kids involved too.
Yeah.
I absolutely love kitten season, seeing kids learn how to bottle feed and go through the stages of life with, you know, something as young as they are.
what
a great term, though, foster fail. I mean, there are certain things, I mean, that's a fail, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Well, we'll hear much more from you as we go along this hour, Kathleen. Andrea, you are the community relations coordinator.
Yeah, education and community relations coordinator.
Okay. That's right, I see that. I just saw the community relations. So a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the SPCA.
Yeah, so I actually moved out here to Fredericksburg from California last summer. So I'm very new to the area still. My husband's military. We're always moving around. But I have worked with animals in the education aspect since I was 15. My first job at 18 was at a zoo in Florida as an education guide, where I got to help take care of the goats and giraffes and things like that and teach the public. I moved on to working with an aquarium education position in California, so feeding the fish and stingrays. And coming out here, I wasn't really looking for a job at the time, but just happened to be browsing, saw the opening at the SPCA for their, at the time, humane educator.
Yeah.
And just took a big chance on it and went for it. And it's been great.
You have been around a lot of different kinds of animals.
Yes.
When did that all start? As a kid, did you like going to the zoo and doing all that kind of stuff?
Oh, 100%. I have always been a fan of animals. I've had every kind of pet you can think of. My parents hated it. It was not my problem that they hated it.
I forgot. I had a pet slug in a dollhouse.
We started fostering slugs.
I love that. 10 out of 10.
That was the line where my parents were like, okay, you can get a dog. Please stop bringing the slugs into the house.
I love that. I don't know that I've ever had anything that intense. I did have a bearded dragon and a chinchilla.
Oh, that's cool.
But not a slug.
Bearded dragons are cool.
They are. They're very cool, but they're very temperamental. So you have to be very cautious, and you really have to kind of hand raise them.
Okay.
Otherwise, they can get an aggression towards humans. It's just part of their nature. Yeah, so I've always loved animals and the zoos, and when I was 15, I wanted to be a zoologist. That was my big dream. I wanted to work as a zookeeper, so I started volunteering at our local zoo, and that's just kind of where it escalated from and kept going.
And now to be at the SPCA.
And now I'm at the SPCA.
But your background is so interesting, because it's and just the different things you've done and the different animals you've been around.
Yeah, it's a really good time. I will say that I think working with cats and dogs is a little less chaotic, and I kind of enjoy it a little bit more because I get to teach them about responsibility on a more hands-on level. So it's a nice change.
Well, it's great to meet you too. This is fun. We've got a lot to talk about this morning, and Vaughn, it's always good to have you here.
I love being here. I love bringing staff more to talk about their programs because we've got a lot going on. Like
we
you
do,
said.
And there is a lot. There is a lot to cover. We'll take a quick break and come back and do that on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg SPCA in this morning, fredspca.org, the website. There's a Facebook page, too, that has all kinds of information, but Fred SPCA will give you the overview of everything, and we will start by talking about Compassionate Care Camp. And this is, Andrea, really a cool thing that happens.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So this camp has been going on for a couple of years. In previous years, it's been
split in day shifts, so 4 hours a day, and they're learning, you know, about hands-on care with the animals. And this year we have a lot of changes, including full day options, which is very exciting as a parent.
So when is it, and what do I need to do to get signed up?
Yeah, so we have spring break camp coming up. That's going to be March 24th to the 28th. And then we have summer break camp, which starts June 2nd and runs to August 2nd. And on our website, it is split into different time frames as well as age groups. So for spring break, there's going to be two sessions, with the morning being 10 to 13 and the afternoon is 6 to 9. But then starting in the summer, all of June is ages 6 to 9. And then July shifts into ages 10 to 13. And if you want to sign up, you just have to go onto the website under programs. There's Humane Education, and it's listed right on there for registration. We have different themed camps, different activities going on. It's a lot.
So let's talk about some of the and what kind of the overall goal is, and what kids come away with.
Yeah, so the big goal for me is just to teach kids about animal welfare, pet ownership, and just how to be a responsible human to better the earth and the animals and the environment, that sort of thing. So, for example, for our spring break camp, we're going to do our first day is called Rescue Rangers, which is really fun. I'm excited about it. I think it's so cute. And they're going to get to kind of focus and understand about empathy and animal behaviors and just getting a general overall understanding of that. And then it kind of shifts. So then they've got day two is Paws for Science. So learning more about animal behavior, but it's going to be very hands-on. So we're going to have like science experiments for them to do where they're getting to have a better understanding of how dogs' noses work or how their paws work, but by themselves. And it kind of shifts, and then we've got Arts and Tales, so that's our really crafty day.
Yeah.
And they're going to get to make a big shelter mural on butcher paper that we're going to hopefully be able to hang up, and they're going to make their own little animal sculptures out of clay. And that day, it's just really highlighting the shelter and highlighting the animals. And then it shifts again, and we're talking about, you know, how we take care of animals in the shelter. They're going to be helping clean cat condos that day, which is a little stinky. I'm not going to pretend it's not. But
you know, if you're going to have an animal, you got to learn that kind
absolutely.
Of stuff.
It's yeah. really important to understand, and that's something that I emphasize when they come into the shelter in the mornings and they smell like dog poop everywhere. I'm like, this is life.
Yeah.
This is normal.
You keep asking your parents for a puppy. Well, guess what?
Congratulations. and then the last day, they get to focus on fostering and adopting, and so we'll get to understand a little bit more in depth about how to foster and what happens if you adopt an animal. And they're going to have a little talent show for the staff at the last day. Yeah.
I haven't told anybody about that yet, but there is going to be a talent show.
What a fun camp.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting.
And that's just spring break.
Right.
Wait till you hear about summer.
Yeah, I've seen the summer camp, yeah. And it's fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. Summer camp, it's one of the biggest changes for camp this year because we are theming the weeks and giving different lessons. So the first week of camp for each age is going to be cat week. It's literally just a week of cat focus. You're going to understand about cat language, cat behavior. Yeah, cat week. Who doesn't love cats?
Right.
they'll still get to have a little bit of time with dogs, of course, because you're at the shelter. You want to see a dog.
Yeah.
But it's very much so focusing on understanding how to care for cats. They get to have a pajama day during the week, which I think is really fun. I'm going to encourage them to get onesies.
Can we have a pajama day?
I have floated the idea, and I showed up in my onesie, and no one else did. So.
I'm going to just say, I think we need to.
I would never do that to Yvonne.
So I will continue showing up in my pajamas. And
I will advertise pajama day, and yes. Then hopefully everybody participates.
I think that you're having as much fun as the campers are going to have.
I am. I'm ecstatic. I'm a mother, and I know that when my son goes out places, he wants to have the best time ever. He wants the adults he's around to also be enjoying it, because it could be a mood killer if you're not all on the same page. And I'm a little kid at heart, so very excited
see.
To do
you
that.
Are just, I mean, as you go through all this, I mean, you've had fun putting all this together.
I have. This has been my life for like 4 or 5 months now. It's just getting these camps all together and set and having it ready to go.
Well, and I guess for the spring break camp, obviously that's coming up. Sign up for that. But for the yes. summer camp, don't wait on these things, because you don't want to all of a sudden think, well, we might want to do it, and then want to go and it's filled up.
Yeah, absolutely. So with summer camps, for just as an example, we have half day option and full day option, and my half day for Cat Week is already sold out. I have no tickets for half day. Full day, still some options, but not a lot. So they are selling out very, very quickly. Spring break camp is in literally 2 weeks. So it, you know, definitely get on the books for that. And even there's discounts too available online. So we have military, teacher, first responder discount, multiple kids discount. So if you've got more than one child, and we also offer financial assistance if it's needed. You can always reach out to us and we can see what options we can provide if you need it.
Well, and like you say, and we've talked about here, especially if you're a family that's thinking about an animal, mm-hmm. this is a great chance to see, do I want this?
It is, 100%. I had a kid at one of my previous sessions, my Saturday sessions, come, and, you know, my mom says that if I want to have a cat, I have to understand what it's going to take. And that was a really good experience for them.
Yeah.
They did leave with a cat like a week later. So it worked out
for
them. Yeah, absolutely. And also, maybe if your parents don't want a pet, this is a good way for you to still have that interaction without having to worry about the mess at home.
Well, and everything you have discussed and that you've put together, it just sounds so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, whichever option you choose, you're going to have a good time.
There are a lot of options, and I hope that the kids, you know, it encourages them to come back, but it encourages them to work with animals when they're older, because that is something we strive for, is pushing for them to grow up, maybe be a vet or a foster coordinator one day.
So one thing I will mention, so Andrea kind of touched that the summer camps have the different themed weeks. So she started off with Cat Week, but, you know, there's Dog Week, there's Shelter Foster Week, there's a bunch of different weeks. But one really cool thing, too, is there's a Sensory Friendly Week that she's doing. And parents are able, we do have a month-long option as well.
We do.
So that's really helpful for parents looking for, you know, something for their kids to do in the summer while they're at work. So it's very, very exciting. So visit our website, fredspca.org/humaneed, and check out those options.
Wow, Andrea, the way you've put this together, I mean, this is quite the undertaking, and you have all of these options, and it really sounds, I mean, it's really comprehensive.
It is. The camps previously were so great, and they had such great material and learning about the animals and how to recognize dog and cat behaviors. But I just wanted to expand it more and broaden the lessons and give them the opportunity to kind of move past that. So it is my baby project. I am very proud of it, honestly, including, like Vaughn said, the Sensory Awareness Week was one of the big things I was excited to bring.
Yeah, what a great idea that is, just because I can think of so many families that would benefit with something like that.
I can really imagine, especially with the shelter, when I worked as volunteer coordinator, it was something we faced a lot, it's a very... certain aspects of shelter life can be very overwhelming on the senses, whether it mean like our tea kennel area where our available dogs are, mm-hmm. It can be extremely loud, or, you know, just all the smells. So it's mm-hmm. really impactful to create a space that people can still enjoy animal welfare and like be educated, but in a sensory friendly way.
Well, and I know from seeing the summer camps in the past, and like you say, just the information about animals is really good. How to care for them, what to do and what not to do.
Yeah.
But then this really, like you say, you then move into a lot of different areas.
Yeah, I think when people think about shelters, they just think about cats and dogs and housing them, and that's not an incorrect information. But there is still so much more to having animals, to having a shelter. There's environmental impacts that people don't know about from having strays. Like, it does damage the environment. And so just hopefully being able to better the future of our children and our planet for the future. Yeah.
but what a great, again, whatever option you take on this, What great things you're going to walk away from, and this is just great programming.
Thank you. I hope so. As a mom, I really do want the kids to come in and know that they can trust me, and know that I'm going to give them a good time, and we're going to have so much fun, and that, you know, 3 years from now, when they're older and in a different class, like, you know, I liked that lesson with Miss Andrea.
Yeah.
That's really what I hope would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's, so Andrea mentioned she's been working on this for like 4 or 5 months. This is the first time I've seen her. She's been up at the front house in her office chipping away at this and just came out of her cocoon, blossomed a whole new program into a butterfly.
Yeah.
But there are some other changes. So we used to have the junior volunteer program and Andrea's made that into something a little bit more significant and comprehensive, and it's now the
Animal Allies Academy.
Yeah, so that's kind of in place of our, well, a more blossomed version of our junior volunteer program. So definitely, parents, there's a lot of different things out there for you to check out.
Yeah,
for kids, whether it's like a one day thing, a weekend thing, or our camps.
Yeah.
Animal Allies Academy.
Yes. Yeah. So it was previously Junior Volunteers, and I wanted to change the name to give it more space to grow, to not just focus on a volunteer aspect. The kids do get to do a lot of volunteer work on these programs. They come in, they get a shelter tour, you know, they learn a little bit of material depending on what we're talking about on that day. This past session we had, we focused on kitten season, which was a really fun one to get started on.
Oh, yeah.
And then they helped make cat boxes for our kittens, and they helped make these tiny little tie blankets for the kittens. And they were an adventure to build, that's for sure. But we handed them off to Kathleen, and they were really cute, so they'll help keep the kittens warm, hopefully.
They're fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, to do something like that too, you get to understand what animals need, how to take care of them.
Yeah, that's something that we focus on with the camps, the Saturday sessions, any of that. We focus on, you know, this is what this animal will need, this is how you would provide it, this is what you can do, and we try to give ways that kids can help with those supplies without it being a huge financial strain on their parents. So with the fleece blankets, I got a lot of those from Goodwill. And yeah, we just used those and cut them up and made the blankets. It was really resourceful.
Yeah.
Recycling. Saving the
all
planet.
About recycling.
Reusing.
What fun. Yeah. What fun. So check it out. FredSPCA.org for all this information. FredSPCA.org. And like you said, especially for the spring break camp. You need to get on that right away.
Yes, that one is about to expire next week. Next Saturday, it closes for signups. And we do have one-day options for the spring break camp that recently got put up. So if they just want to do one day, they totally can.
Wow, you think of you're making it available for everybody.
We're trying.
And for the summer compassionate care camps, is that sometime in June that'll start?
Yeah, so June 2nd is the beginning of summer camps. And for the whole month of June is ages 6 to 9. The last week of June that falls into the week of July 4th, that is going to be our sensory awareness week. There is no camp on July 4th, and then month of July up until August 2nd is all ages 10 to 13.
Andrea Chum here along with Kathleen Daly-Becker and Von Young, Fredericksburg SPCA, fredspca.org. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA, Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg SPCA in this morning. Von, Kathleen, Andrea here this morning. But first things first, we have I've got to figure this one out. Andrea, why does your coffee cup say Jennifer?
Called out.
It says Jennifer because my mother and I share a Starbucks account, and she funds the account, so I use it a lot.
Okay, I'm sitting there looking at that, and I keep looking at my list here, and I'm thinking, did I get your name wrong? Are you all just going along with me?
They don't ever put names on it. I was the only person at Starbucks this morning, so why they wrote the name?
You just have to be sure.
That's fair.
So, okay, that answers that. It is a time now for kit season.
Yeah, kitten season.
Kitten season. And this is, we talk about, we spend a lot of times in usually parts of many shows talking about this every year, Von. Yes. This is a big deal.
Yes, it is. And I'm gonna use my mom voice now, even though I'm not a mom.
It is a mom voice.
Yes, I'm gonna use my mom voice.
Feel very passionate about this.
Yes.
We've all been just kind of giggly here, and all of a sudden, an adult has come in the room.
Yeah. Vaughn's here. So we want to talk about, so kitten season, it happens every year. Kittens are polyestrous. They're going to have kittens as long as the day is long. And, you know, a cat can start having kittens at 4 months old. And they can have multiple litters a year. We don't want your kittens. That is the main thing we have to get out here. We promote, you know, spay neuter. We have feral cat packages. Kittens are just the most vulnerable animal across the United States in animal sheltering. Kittens under 8 weeks are the most euthanized because animal shelters are not kitten nurseries. They're not open 24/7, and kittens need a lot of care.
And 80% of the kittens that are born in the United States are born to these outdoor cats. So we see like a small amount of cats coming from indoor owned animals, but the vast majority of these are coming from outdoor unowned animals or strays.
Exactly. And so we have, you know, traps at the SPCA. We can, you know, teach you about trapping, neuter, release for, you know, mom cats and get them spayed, neutered. But the main thing is here, when kittens are under 8 weeks, don't take them unless they are visibly sick or injured. We know you have a huge heart. You want to step in. You want to help. Mm-hmm. But that increases their, you know, it can increase their mortality rate by up to 40% because kittens are so fragile. Mom cat is the one who is keeping them warm. She's regulating their body temperature. Mom's milk has all those delicious antibodies that will keep them safe. Kittens cannot go to the bathroom on their own after they eat. So mom is using her tongue and she is stimulating them. If you take kittens, you are mom. You are mom now. If you show up to any shelter with a box of kittens, we will, you know, if you show up to the Fred SPCA, we are going to do our best to help you. Kathleen is going to be on, you know,
high alert,
trying to get fosters ready. You know, we're trying to get funding for kitten supplies. We're recruiting fosters. We're about to do trainings. Kathleen's going to talk about all that. But there are going to be times we can't take the kittens. There are going to be times where your local animal shelter cannot take the kittens because if they take them, they put them in a kennel, there's no resources. It's not a good time.
Right.
So the best thing we can do is educate our public. Do not kidnap the kittens unless you're prepared to be mom now. If you are taking kittens and we can set you up with, if you want to be a foster with us, a bottle baby foster, that's a lot different.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'll let Kathleen go into that. I just wanted to use my mom voice for that because kittens also eat every 2 hours. So.
Yeah, and I think a good point on that is you're not always going to see mom. People often think, like, they walk in, say you're looking at a bush and you see a couple kittens in there. Mom has to go away from the nest. She's going to have to go get food. But a lot of the time, mom is around. She is coming back. So if you're waiting to see if mom comes back, don't hang out 5 feet away. She sees you. She smells you. You need to go away and come back later and check on them. There are obviously situations that are more emergent. If these animals are sick, injured, then please reach out to us. Obviously, we want to help. But we want to be sure that we're giving mom a fair chance to come back because, it can be distressing for the animal if they come back and their children are all gone.
This is good information because so often people want to do the right thing. And in wanting to do that, you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's kind of that urban legend that with birds or with animals that if they smell you on the nest, they're not going to come back. That is not true for cats. So don't worry that you've ruined it before it all started.
Yeah.
Go away. Come back later. Because their best chance at survival, it's coming from a place of love, but their best chance of survival is mom. We as fosters step in to try and simulate mom, but we are not mom.
Yeah, and we're expecting upwards of, 500 to 600 kittens to come through our door this year.
Yeah.
So,
and that's just who we say yes to.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's who we can take. That's where our resources are. So it is, if the kittens that you're looking at outside, if they're not in danger, they're cozy, they're clean, leave them with mom. If you can, trap them when they're a little bit older, walking around, eating on their own, that is a lot better for them. That is when shelters can usually take them and have them inside the shelter and get them spayed, neutered. But you have to remember, these guys are unvaccinated too, so like illness is rampant.
Absolutely.
We can't, that's part of the reason why kittens do not do well in the shelter. So kittens under 8 weeks cannot stay in our shelter. They have to, Kathleen has to find them a home right away.
Absolutely. They go out same day. No, yeah. Kitten can spend a night in the shelter. And that's, you know, part of the reason with coordinating our intakes is we have to be careful, because it's not always a capacity issue. It's also a safety issue for those animals. They're right. Very sensitive. They're very vulnerable. And we have to do our best to protect them.
It's got to be, Kathleen, at times when you see situations when someone has taken a cat and they shouldn't have, a kitten, and you just want to just say, you know, why did you do this? This is...
Yeah, you know, I think, like I said, I started... raising bottle babies myself when I was 15. I started fostering cats, and I often just think back how I was at that beginning stage and how I didn't necessarily understand all of the things that I understand now.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to, you know, give everyone grace. Everyone is doing the best. When someone mm-hmm. shows up to an SPCA with a box of kittens, they don't come to the SPCA because they don't think they're doing the right thing. They're taking time out of their day to help animals. So it's our job to educate. And at that point, we can try and reintroduce to mom if we know what's going on. There are also certain situations where I have people come to the door and they say, you know, I've been waiting for mom. There was 6 kittens last night and there's 4 this morning and mom never came back. And that's when it's really essential for us to step in. But,
yeah.
You know, those are difficult conversations, and it can be really heartbreaking because, you know, if it is a situation where we have completely lost mom, those kittens are in a very critical state very quickly.
Yeah. What do you do in those kind of situations?
You do your best. So we're lucky enough to have the Locke Community Medical Center on site, and we're able to call our veterinarian or our clinic director and ask for advice. There are times that with fostering kittens, I always tell people, and as foster coordinator, this applies to myself as well, you have to understand that not every kitten makes it. With that 40% mortality rate, that's nearly, like, if they're separated from mom, that's nearly half of them. So I always tell people, if they're little like that, you guard your heart. You do your best. And I always tell people, it's our responsibility to love and care for these animals, whether they're here for 3 minutes, 3 weeks, or whether they're going to be an owned animal for the next 2 decades. And you got to kickstart that. But all you can do is really do your best, communicate to the people in the shelter, communicate with our medical professionals, and provide ethical care. And sometimes if we can't save the animal, that means making sure they're not suffering.
And there is, you know, when they arrive to us, Kathleen's not saying they, you know, 40% of our kittens die. That's not what she's saying. There's, Kathleen's going to host some trainings for both our staff and our public. Those are going to be online soon, on how to care for bottle babies, on how to care for older kittens, how to socialize them. With bottle babies, it's critical, you know, when they arrive to us, we don't know when the last time they ate was. So it's critical that we get them up to temperature in a safe and correct way, with things called snuggle safes, you can use rice socks, and then you never give them cow's milk. We have kitten milk replacer. You have to feed them in a certain way on their belly. And so Kathleen's running all of these trainings, and we're more than happy to, you know, give that advice and train. We have videos on our website, but if people show up at the door and they, you know, have the bottle babies and they want to foster, we have those supplies that we have, you know, those, we have the education, we can help.
I think you touched on something really important, which is important for everyone to know, just like the kidnapping issue, is when you find a kitten that has, and you don't have mom, people's instinct is this kitten is hungry. Hunger is not the biggest issue when it comes to kittens. It is always temperature. You never feed a cold kitten. It is very important that you make sure that kittens are nice and toasty, warm before you even attempt, and then wait a little bit and then feed them. Because the biggest issue with kittens is going to be them being cold. And that can lead very quickly to something called fading kitten syndrome. So it's essential that we keep our kittens warm. And that's one of the very first things we do when a kitten comes to our door, is attempt to start getting them warm, rubbing them, trying to improve circulation and getting them up to temperature, which is really emergent in these cases.
How long does that take?
It can take 30 minutes, an hour. It kind of depends on the size of the kitten. When they're quite cold and they're not moving around, we'll kind of it sounds terrible, but you kind of rotate them like a hot dog at 7-Eleven. They just kind of warm up.
Right.
Yeah. You got to warm all sides to go through. Yeah. We're going to be rubbing them and kind of improving circulation, get that warm blood running around the body. So if it's a smaller kitten, it can be 30 minutes to an hour. If they're cold and they're being quiet, you're going to wait for them to warm up and start yelling again, and then you're going to probably know that they're good to go. They'll be warm to the touch.
And the cool thing is, this sounds terrifying when we're talking about it, because we want to make sure that the community understands that kittens are critical across the United States. We want to educate, you know, don't kidnap. But at the same time, bottle baby fostering is so cool. And it's
my favorite.
So rewarding.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite type of fostering for myself.
And one of the things to empower people to help save lives. And I mean, people have that heart. They want to help. They step in. Like Kathleen said, no one comes to the shelter with a box of kittens because they don't want to help. So that's why we offer those trainings, and we offer the education, and it is really quite cool. Once you know how to bottle feed, and once you are there and see the kittens from, you know, little potatoes that don't move to little, like, waddling things to then crazy bouncing off the walls, like, it's something that families can do together, kids can learn.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about, like, watching. I mean, it's things that you never think you're going to get to experience. I mean, I've had kittens in my bathroom and seen their umbilical cord come off. I've got to watch an animal's eyes open for the first time. I've seen an animal take its first steps. Like, that's really something exclusive to bottle baby fostering. And that's why it's so important. I have a lot of families who foster together. And I've had a lot of people tell me that this is just such a rewarding education for their kids.
It is, absolutely.
The
first time that James, you had over fall a bottle fed kitten in your office, and I got to go in and see it. I took a video for James.
Oh my goodness.
And that was what made him want to do more fostering with the kittens, was watching that bottle baby.
Yeah.
It was such a cool experience.
And you're never too young to learn. I think there is kind of this anxiety around them being so tiny and stuff, but
once you have the education.
Credit where credit is due. Kids are really good at this stuff. I mean, I was really passionate about this as a kid, and I loved getting involved. And I was lucky enough to have professionals who trusted me to get involved, and that's how I ended up where I am today. So leaning on the younger people in our community and educating them is really important, because those are the future of what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't need a lot of space to foster kittens. They don't move.
No, I exclusively foster neonatal kittens in my half bath. Like my half bathroom downstairs, I have a little crate that I set up by my sink, and that is the kitten bathroom. But that's what I always tell people. You do not need, when kittens for the first 3 weeks of life are living in a carrier, in a cat carrier.
You can bring them to work.
Yep. I do it all the time. It's great. And what's better than taking a little break to bottle feed a kitten and get to pet like the cutest little thing in the world?
And you'll be the most popular person in the office.
Yeah,
everyone
truly, I have to lock
donuts,
the door.
You bring kittens.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Vanish, you talked at the start of this conversation about just how often this happens. This isn't just a spring thing for kittens. You're dealing with this. You're dealing with this all the time.
We have we say kitten season comes in two waves. So we have the first one starting now. We have the second one that starts, I mean, Virginia doesn't get cold until way late in the year. So we see the second wave come around August, September. And yeah, it's...
And even still, we've got a couple like Mr. Spaghetti showed up. Oh, what was it, December, January?
Yeah, Just all year round.
We're not sure where
he
came from.
He was the most popular cat for a hot minute in the shelter.
And it really does make you think, because in those months, all it takes is one cold night and we wouldn't have had Spaghetti. And we were lucky enough to have that little hooligan. He was so fun.
Yeah, so.
So it sounds like, too, Kathleen, that supplies or to be able to have supplies to do all of this. And if people could donate, that would be a big help.
Yeah, absolutely. Supplies are essential to what we do. We're entirely donation-based. The foster closet provides all the supplies for the fosters so that they are not expected to contribute financially. Some people do, which is fabulous. I'd say our most needed items on a rolling basis, kitten milk replacer, like we talked about earlier, KMR, the powder, is super essential. Kitten wet food is something we go through thousands and thousands of cans so quickly. Because you have to think, how many kittens we have in our care if we have 500, 600 kittens. and they're all eating two cans a day. Add that up and how many they're going to eat a month. It gets pretty crazy.
Yeah.
One of our other big needs right now is actually kitchen scales, like digital scales. The reason for that is one of the most important indicators of kitten health is weight changes. We want to be seeing in a healthy kitten weight changes of anywhere from about 5 to 14 grams a day. Any stagnations in weight or decreases in weight can be a sign of illness or some sort of issue going on. So all our fosters need to have scales to go home with. So we're trying to get more digital scales so that we can send them all home with those. Every foster goes home with a thermometer as well. So we're always thankful for oral thermometer donations. But kitten supplies, litter, we use unscented, unclumped, non-clumping litter. But yeah, I'd say kitchen scales, wet food, and KMR are the bread and butter that we're looking for.
Lots of ways for the community to get involved. FredSPCA.org. FredSPCA.org to find out more about that and follow them on Facebook. You guys are awesome. Just awesome. What great information. And during the course of a year we talk about kitten season a lot, Vaughn, but this is good information. Thank you for using your mom voice.
My mom voice, yeah. I don't bring it out often.
That was good. Yeah. It was needed this morning. Quick final break, and it will be a quick break, and we'll conclude this morning with Andrea, Kathleen, and Vaughn from the Fredericksburg SPCA on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff at the Fredericksburg SPCA this morning. FredSPCA.org. I was just told shocking news because Vaughn and I did a show together last year. A year ago. Just the two of us, we did all of this, and Miss Kathleen was not here.
I would just like to mention that Maddie also forgot. It wasn't just me.
Bamboozled. I was bamboozled.
So yes, I do remember.
I
that
only
show.
Apologize 600 times, Juan.
Well, we're glad you're here this morning, Kathleen.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I made it.
Great stuff with everybody. Before we get out of here. The Andrea Chum, the Education and Community Relations Coordinator, camp is coming up, especially in a couple of weeks for spring break.
Yeah, absolutely. Spring break signups close next Saturday on the 22nd,
okay.
And starts on the 24th. So if you want to give your child a break from you and yourself a break from your child, sign up for that.
And have your kids really learn some great stuff
about
animals.
Yeah, absolutely. And have a really good time, for sure.
And check out the summer. The summer options, and some of them are selling out.
So they are selling out quick, so go fast.
So do that. And then, Vaughn, there are a couple of other things that we need to talk about.
Yeah, we have a couple of our signature events. So we are a nonprofit, so we hold these events to fundraise so that we can do cool things like save kittens. So we have our annual For the Animals golf tournament coming up on May 1st. So you can spend the afternoon playing golf with your friends, your colleagues, and all the funds raised go back to the Fred SPCA. And there are lots of sponsorship opportunities available for that still, so reach out to us. And then we also have our annual Rescue Run 5K. It's our Rescue Run/Walk 5K. So that's happening June 8th, and it is very exciting. You can choose either Team Dog or Team Cat when you sign up. And I'm just going to say Team Dog is winning, and Team Cat is far behind.
Yes, yeah. I also will be registering for Team Cat.
So if you're a cat person, you have to kind of
come join us, please.
Show these Team Dog people. So you can register. You can find all our events, camp. You can find the golf tournament, Rescue Run, and then soon our furball tickets, all up at fredspca.org.
Furball's in August?
Yes, okay. It's coming up. We'll talk about it next time I see you.
Yeah, we'll do all that. Well, and then the run is a great. If you're a runner or no runners, it's always a big turnout for that.
Absolutely.
And a very fun time. Again, remember camp. Remember, Kathleen, just remember about and review some things about kittens and learning how to take care of them. What great education information you helped provide this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much. And remember, don't kidnap. Yeah.
Remember the mom boys.
Because you see them and you think, I need to do something.
Yeah, 100%.
You likely don't have to.
No. You have like a ring camera, you can put it outside too to watch and see if mom comes back. It'll save you the trouble of standing out there for hours on end.
That's a good idea,
too. Yeah, come back later, but don't hang around too close.
FredSPCA.org. Lots going on. You are a very busy bunch, and there's always needs to volunteer at the shelter. All kinds of opportunities. From just even doing the wash.
Yeah, wash, you know, we got the laundry, we got dishes. You can even sign up as a volunteer and help with our community events that we table at. That's always exciting, especially college students. It's wonderful. We have some people that just stop by on their lunch break and hang out with the cats in the cat room. And there's something for everyone from, you know, college kids to all the way up to retired folks. So
check it out, FredSPCA.org. Von Young, Andrea Chum, and Kathleen Daly Becker. Thank you all. Great stuff. And we will talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We will see you on Monday morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.